Still with the same question 3 days. We're still dealing with the same question. Question is, how on the one hand can the Gemara entertain the possibility of the lying on the road, so to speak, of Kaskasa Baduk, that the odds are that the Dika's Chametz took place because most probably somebody did an action of the Dika. The problem is, what do you mean somebody did an action of the Dika? Isn't that what we call a robe at Talib Maisa? And a robe at Talib Maisa is not acceptable. Isn't that clearly not acceptable? That's the premise of the question. So in order to really appreciate the question, you have to make sure that all those facts are right. Is it really so accurate to portray that a robot on the mice is not acceptable? So the entire source for that idea of a robot on the mice was that Gemara tucked away in the Torah. The Gemara talked about why we cannot make a blanket statement that anytime we buy an animal from a non-Jew, we could just assume that everything is fine. It's not really a b'chor. The subsequent animal is not going to be a firstborn. Because after all, rove behemoth misabas fiodos. Most animals became pregnant. Most animals had babies. Most animals already had babies long before. Why can't we just rely on the rove? The Gemara had actually two different reasons for that. One reason was that this Mishnah, this sugya is following Rabbi Meir, who generally doesn't like to rely on rove. The rice and the rabbanon with miyot. Different permutations of what Rameh did and did not say. But that was one route the Gemara took. That was Rav's approach. And then Ravina, at the very end of the Sugya B'chor, said, no. This is out of bounds for the holidays. This Rav is not going to work according to anybody because this is a Rav at Talib Maisa. So that was the Gemara. The entire Gemara, Hakol Mikol Kol, was Ravina's understanding of the Mishnah at the beginning of the third Pekot of B'chor that led us to believe that a Rav at Talib Maisa is not acceptable. For us, our question. So we then went on to show that it's not so simple that we really even buy into this problem of Robert Talib Maisa. And a lot of that discussion revolved around the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. Let's just recap for a moment. The Sugya Yevamos was a complicated Sugya. That Gemara Yevamos may not be going down the route of Robert Talib Maisa, possibly. What the Gemara was discussing was, I have a woman in front of me. And she wants to know, is she required to have Yibum Mechalitza or not? Why should we think that she doesn't? We know that her husband died. We know that last we checked, the husband didn't have any children because the husband and another wife have been on a trip for the last 5 years. And the rove dictates, the statistical majority is that probably the other wife had a baby. They've been together for 5 years already. Everyone's young. So probably they had a baby already. Probably is probably, not definitely. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, no, you can't rely on the probably. Probably is no good. Why can't you rely on probably? So there was a major machlokes to be shown at the end of the day, what was wrong with the probably? What was the problem with the probably? Why can't you rely on the rove? So Rashi on the spot says, you know what, you can't rely on the rove? Because this is, bring back Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir speaking. Could we rely on the Rav? Yeah, we can rely on the Rav. Rashi says, the Sugya Yevamos is really Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah, the Gemara, it's all Rabbi Meir speaking. Finish, forget about it. You can rely on the problem. You can rely on the Rav. But the Ramban quoted two possibilities, Nasarif, that no, you cannot rely on the Rav. And now it becomes a little bit tricky. Why can't you rely on the Rav? So one version of why you can't rely on the Rav was the view of Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon said, because counteracting the rove, you have a chazaka. The previous status was that the woman would have required yibum. Until last week, until we began to discuss the possibility of maybe there was a baby born, the chazaka was, the status quo was, she would have required yibum. So now you have a very, very complicated sugi of a rove going up against the chazaka. So if Haigon shows you, and Rabbi Tom and other Rishonim show you, that we may be choshesh, we may be concerned with this new principle, it's called, smoch miut v'chazak mishul aruba. You combine the miut with the chazaka, and that offsets the rove. So maybe that's the reason why we don't rely on the problem. So we have two pshatim and rishonim. According to Rashi, we do rely on the statistical probability, and halach l'maaseh, we will permit her to get married, and we don't have to be worried about anything. We could assume the co-wife had a baby. According to Rav Haigon, not so simple, not so pasha. Because it's a smoke with the chazaka. But comes the Ramban and says, you want to know why you can't rely on the probably? I'll tell you why, says the Ramban. It's a rove, hatoli b'maisa. Because to say that the co-wife, that the tzara had a baby, is requiring us to say that the co-wife and the husband had relations, which is a maisa. So we're basically locking ourselves into a rova tov b'maisa. Says the Ramban, ayin b'choros, rova tov b'maisa is mishrov. That's not a rov. So we have three different approaches in the Gedolia. We showed him how to make sense of this sugya, this mishnah Yevamos, mishnah Gemara tucked away in the Yad Maseches Yevamos. The mishnah says beferish. In this case, each shul of bialav itzuros b'nesayam lo tinosim. You can't argue with mishnah. Mishnah is beferish lo tinosim. Why? Rashi says it's Rabbi Meir Shloike Halacha. Rav Haigon says smoch with the chazaka. It was only the Ramban who dug up this sugya of Rovatol b'vayse. What should we make of the other Rishonim? Why did the other Rishonim not go down the route of the Ramban? The Ramban is easy. The Ramban didn't make up anything. The Ramban just learned the Choras. He plugged the Choras into Yavamis. So how come nobody else thought of that? How come Rashi didn't think of that? How come Rav Haigol didn't think of that? Nobody else on the page. Only the Ramban. Oh, believe me, the Ramban says, I had this thought, I had this dream, I had this idea, says the Ramban, that maybe it's a Rav HaTol B'mais. How come nobody else thought of this idea? What's wrong, so to speak, with this Rav HaTol B'mais? So one could take one of two approaches. One could take the approach that, guess what? The other Rishonim didn't accept the principle of Rabbi Tala B'maisa. Let's not forget, the Gemara itself wasn't even sure of such a principle. The Gemara B'choris had machlekes about it. So it's very possible that the other Rishonim were of the opinion that Rabbi Tala B'maisa is not a factor. It's not a cheshbon. It's not a deficient Rav. There's nothing wrong with Rabbi Tala B'maisa. So it's very possible that from the fact that Rashi Tafka did not mention any of them, and the fact that Rav Haigon did not mention any of them, it's very possible from these we showed him that they didn't mention it because they just didn't think it was true, that we don't really accept this idea of Rav HaTol B'maisa being an insufficient Rav. If that's the case, that would bode well for our sugya. Because we started our sugya, we scratch our heads if once we're with a second. I thought we were learning Pesachim. We thought we were talking about B'dikas Chometz. And now we're learning sugyas tucked away in the end of Yevamos and sugyas in Bechairis. Oh, it's tremendous relevance because we have to know the answer to this question. Rabbi Tov B'maisa, yes, Rav, Anish Rav. So maybe all the Rishonim in the end of Yevamos that refused to go down the route of Rabbi Tov B'maisa, that Dafka left out the Rabbi Tov B'maisa part of the equation, they Dafka held that a Rabbi Tov B'maisa is a good Rav. That would be good. That would be great for us. The problem is, we're not so sure if that's right. So I'll explain to you why. That the sugya in Yevamos may not qualify as a Rav HaTol B'maisa. If I could show you some reason, somehow, that the sugya in Yevamos does not quite meet the standards of a Rav HaTol B'maisa, that would explain why the other Rishonim had to go fishing, had to go searching for other reasons why we don't follow the Rav. And Rashi said, we do follow the Rav. And Rav Haigon says, oh, it's a smoke of the chazakah. The reason why nobody went down the route of Rav HaTol B'maisa is because nobody thought that it really was a Rav HaTol B'maisa. Not because they denied the inefficiency of Rav HaTol B'maisa. The other Rishonim really believed that that's not a Rav HaTol B'maisa. Why not? Why is that not a Rav HaTol B'maisa? The original case of Rav HaTol B'maisa was the animals. Did the animal become pregnant or not? So what's the difference? We like to view ourselves as different in the world. You know, Nasa Adam, but some many people say, "We are Nefshchaya." But at the end of the day, we're also Nimshokem Behemus Nidmo. So what's the difference? If you really believe that whether or not an animal became pregnant is ultimately a Rav HaTol B'maisa, because you're really being dawned on was there a maisa be or not. That's the real source of the issue. What's the difference between the animals and the people? So there may be a big, big difference. And the big difference is found in the Tosfos. I thought I put that sort of searching for, I thought I had the Tosfos on the Marmikomos. Well, for some reason, the Tosfos got lost here. I don't remember why it wasn't on the Marmikomos itself. Well, whatever it is. We'll still tell you about that. Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos actually raises this very point. And Tosa says, how come in the Gemara there's no mention in Yevamos of a Rav HaTol B'maisa? One would have expected somebody in the Gemara would have invoked the principle. If Rav HaTol B'maisa is such an ayayay svara, such a great, problematic, inefficient Rav, how come nobody in Yevamos made mention of it? So says Tosa, I think the following. People and animals are different. I mean, we hope that that's true. But Tzedek says people and animals are different vis-a-vis Robotone the mice in the following sense. Says Tosfos, a man and a woman, two human beings, the fact that they did or did not have relations, that's not called Tali B'maiseh. That happens B'meila, says Tosfos. Animals? Animals are mated together, says Tosfos. Animals, usually, again, I have to take, you know, take a little bit of a step back. I'm not on the farm. I'm not involved in mating animals. I can't tell you all the details. But Tosfos says that to say that the animal had a baby meant there was some kind of a formal, thought-out, well-planned action that has to be assumed to have happened. The farmer had to get his animal from here and the animal from there and put them into the barn together. And then something had to happen together. There was a mice, a formal mice with 20 steps along the way. That's called the robot of the mice, and that kind of a robot is no good. A husband and wife, says Tosfos, adam niskach l'ishto b'meila. A couple's married, so it's understood. They're going to be together. It's not a thought-out process, not a planned process. It's not something that has 100 steps to it. It happens, b'meila, says Tosfos. Even though it's true that l'maisa, you need a maisa, but that kind of a maisa does not qualify as a rovatol b'maisa. That's what Tosfos says. So remember that Tosfos, keep it on the back burner. Not even the back burner, we're on the front burner for a second. It's going to become critical when we fine-tune what is and what is not a rovatol b'maisa. So for our purposes, that Tosfos does not bode well for the sugya. Because for our purposes, what Tosfos just did was, they basically explained why Robotot B'maisa doesn't appear in Yevamos. And that's why Haigom didn't go down that route. And that's why Rashi didn't go down that route. Because the case of Yevamos does not meet the criteria of a Robotot B'maisa. But something that does meet the standards of a Robotot B'maisa will be called a Robotot B'maisa and will be unacceptable. Give me an example of something that meets the standards of Rav Tov B'maisa. I would say B'dikas Chometz is one. B'dikas Chometz is a pretty well thought out process. I didn't make an analysis as to how much more action goes into B'dikas Chometz than mating animals. But my gut reaction from a non-farmer point of view would be that it takes an awful lot longer to do B'dikas Chometz if you're doing it right than it is to mate your animals together. And therefore, you want to argue that husband and wife is not a Robotot B'maisa, a Mekabel Tosfos. You want to argue that mating animals is not? Well, the Gemara calls it a Robotot B'maisa. You want to tell me that B'dikas Chometz is not a Robotot B'maisa? That sounds absurd. So, Rabbi Sai, this doesn't bode well for our sugya. It doesn't bode well for Pesachim. Because, Acharei Kichlos HaKol, if the analysis of the last 3 days of the Gemara's in Yevamos and the Gemara's in Becharis, we are back to square one. We're back to our original question that why does the Gemara entertain the possibility of Rove working? Isn't it a Rove HaTolei B'maisa? And Rove HaTolei B'maisa is no good. And don't hide behind the Gemara. Oh, the Gemara in Yevamos says it is good. No. The Gemara never said it's good. If Tosfos is right, all the Gemara said is, that's not a Rove HaTolei B'maisa because there's not that much thought and action going into it. But if and when you have a real bona fide Rove HaTolei B'maisa, then you have a problem. So when all the dust settles, we are back to where we were 3 days ago. I know whether that's an encouraging thought or not, but we, at least Baruch Hashem, we learned the Sukkot Yevamos, we had our Vigo, we had a Tosis, we had a Rashi, we had a lot of things along the way, but we're right back where we started. What happened to the Pesach and the Avdal, and how can the Gemara entertain the possibility of this Cheskas Abadak, i.e. a Rove? What happened to Rove HaTolei B'maisa? So there is a suggestion by one of the Gedali Acharonim, the Sefer Yad Avram. Those who are, I tell the Bachar in Yeshiva, those who are under the age of 25 have a right to try to read the Yad Avram. Anyone over the age of 25 who wants to preserve the little bit of eyesight that they have left, so we won't read it together. We'll say a Tosh about that. So in the Yad Avram is one of the Perushim, one of the Nesikim on the side of Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya. And the Yad Avram asks this question. He posed this question. And basically, what the Yad Avram develops is as follows. He says, "Bameh devar mamurim that a rov hatalei b'maisa fall short." That's when we're dealing with deraisidika questions. The marshal case of a chayrus, that's a deraisidika shayla. The case of chalitza, those are deraisidika shaylas. B'dikas chametz, come on, says the Yad Avram. Everybody knows that b'dikas chametz is only midrabbanan. Because the famous phrase, "B'deraisa b'bitul b'yam asagi," Min haTorah, all you need is, but for whatever reason, tashbisu, whatever the lumdus of that line is, but everybody agrees to the Gemara that Dalam Rebbeis because Chabad is not a midrabanan. But Dinim derabanan, even Shvach HaRov's work, even Rav Torah ben Maisa's work for Dinim derabanan. When you see a teretz like that, so we say, okay, you know, it's a chiluk, it's a distinction. But we have to strengthen it a little bit. We have to touch it up a little bit. Why should that be so conceptually? Why is it that Chazal, when they instituted B'dikas Chametz, so we generally have a rule called Tikkun Rabbanan Kein D'oraisa Tikkun. The standards that we use for Dinim D'Rabbanan are usually very similar, usually in sync with the D'oraisas. Every once in a while, we have a cool here and there. But why should it be that Chazal picked on this row? It's almost like a Mamar Shach. Do you believe there's a good row or not? If you really believe this is a good robe, so then use it. If you don't believe it's a good robe, so then why are you relying on it? Because it's chametz. The fact that it's the rabbanan, why does being the rabbanan give us the right to almost like lower, water down the threshold? That's what constitutes a robe. So in order to answer that question, if we want to go down the Avram's approach, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves. That one line in the Gemara in Bukharis, they got the whole board, it's been the source of our entire question for the last 3 days. Robe atod b'maisa lemri, in the case of the animals, case of Bukharis. What's the source of that did? Why is that so? Where did that come from, Robert Talib Meiser? So there's a fundamental question we'll see as the sugya develops. There's a major machlokes to be shown him, whether this is a din deraisa or whether this is a din derabanan. This inefficient robe, this problematic robe, this robe that falls short, that Nebuch, we call the Robert Talib Meiser, and therefore we can't rely on it, we can't use it. Is that a deraisa digadin? Or is that a derabanan digadin? Is that something that's problematic, Min haTorah? That robe doesn't meet the threshold of robe Min haTorah? And why that should be so is we still have more work to do on that. Or do we say, nah, come on, the whole thing is a chumah midrabanan. Why is that important for us? If this robe is really good Min haTorah, and it's just a chumah midrabanan for some reason that we don't want to rely on it, so we're used to this principle in halacha that when you're dealing with dinim derabanan, very often, when you start to almost like pile up derabanans, you start to get, oh, it's derabanan for this reason, it's derabanan for that reason. We're familiar with this in the Shabbos. It's called the shvus to shvus. If a certain action is only derabanan for two reasons, it's derabanan because it's a non-Jew doing it, and it's derabanan because even if a Jew did it, it wouldn't be derabanan. You start to collect derabanans, so then we take a much more lenient approach to the sugya. And something is just outright, it's awesome, derabanan, finished, derabanan, still derabanan. But if it's only derabanan because it's derabanan for reason X, and then it's vital derabanan for reason Y, when you start to combine derabanans, that not always, but leads us in the direction of kula. Could that be what the Ad of Ram is driving at? That the whole problem of Robert Talib and Maisa, Hakol Miko called the whole Gemara Bechairus, everything's hinging on the one line at the end of the Sugi Bechairus, that whole thing in goof is only a chumrum and derabanan. Now we can understand. If the deficiency of a robot of the mice itself was only the Rabbanan, and lump that together with a din de Rabbanan, to have to be machmer for a robot that's really good in a Torah. For a de Rabbanan de Kachumra on a de Rabbanan de Kadin, that's like a double de Rabbanan. Double de Rabbanan is generally a pretty poor make a line. So if that's the lump, that's the background of the Ad of Ram, then it really pushes the question back. Is that really the problem? Is the problem of a robot of the mice only a de Rabbanan? If that statement is true, then we can begin to understand why maybe we shouldn't invoke it by dinam derabanan.
The concept of a robe that we generally invoke is this thing a trait or is it culture? Is it common or is it talk? But when we want to invoke as to what happened past, so then we're actually looking at what it is, but the past as to what happened. When it's a human that's involved in it, I can understand. Maybe the human didn't put himself in the
room. Okay. So you're already one step into the next part of the sugya. 100%. You're already giving us a lumdus as to why a robot of a mice shouldn't be good. Okay, so I'm taking the approach. Wait a second. I don't really understand why it shouldn't be good. And if they're right, if I ask Moshe Rabbeinu, is it good? He'd say it's good. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the statistician? So the numbers are, it's 84% chance that it's good. Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's good. So now Israel is going to tell me, it's true, but you're invoking a principle that maybe something happened. Oh, yeah, that's a problem. So Moshe Rabbeinu would say, the numbers tell it also, Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at this. Quote, Look at the data. Look at the data. That's the phrase. Where, look at the numbers. I'm looking at the numbers. The numbers is a robe. If you tell me it's not a robe, it's not a robe. So it's a robe with a little bit of Maisa. The fact that it involves, invokes a Maisa, why should it make a difference? So I'm much more comfortable going down the route of saying, you know what? There's nothing really wrong with Robot Torah, Maisa, Minotaurah. I mean, they're Rabbanan. Chazal didn't like it. Maybe that's real reason, other reasons. It's a Chumad Derabbanan. If it's only Chumad Derabbanan, so then I understand what the Arab Ram is saying. But I'm far from convinced that I'm right. I think Israel may be right. I don't know if it's going to say a robe that you're right, but it's a 50-50 chance that you're right. It could be that a robot of a Maisa is much more problematic than we thought it was. It could be that the numbers just aren't really here. It could be that there's some real problem with the robot of a Maisa, even on a level of Deraisa. If that's the case, then we're really in trouble. Because if a robot of a Maisa really, really falls short on a level of Deraisa, then we're in a lot of trouble in our sugya. How's it going to work with B'dikas Chometz, even B'dikas Chometz is the Rabban? So what's the answer to that question? After 3 days of Shia, we've now come to one major impasse in the sugya. Namely, tell me, Rabban Tal B'maisa, is that a chisara min HaTorah, or is that a chisara min the Rabban? What's the real source of the problem? So there is a Gemara in the seventh of the Marmi Chometz, it's one Chulun Dafir Alef B'beis, that sets the stage to answer this question, possibly. The Gemara is discussing the principles of Rov, and the Gemara is trying to pinpoint in Chumash what the source for Rov is in the first place. How do you know Rov? Where does it say Rov in the Chumash? So the fact that the Torah does say Acharav Mahatos is not enough for us, because Acharav Mahatos is what we call Ruv de'Isa Kamon. Namely, I have three Dayanim, two say Chayev, one says Potter. So I have all the numbers in front of me. So two say one way, one says the other way. They follow Rov. That's okay. The parallel of that in Nitzvah Hetu would be, I have 10 stores, none of them are selling kosher, one of them selling treif. I find a piece of meat on the floor, I don't know where it came from. Nine say kosher, one says treif, good, rope. That's a Ruben de Isa Kaman. A Ruben de Laysa Kaman is much more problematic. A Ruben de Laysa Kaman means that most animals don't have holes in their stomachs. We do not line up 1,000 animals and count them. Most women give birth after 9 months. We do not line up every single woman and count her. How do we know that's true? Because our sense of the world around us is such. Our impression is most animals are not dying right and left from holes in their stomachs, holes in their hearts. There's a row that most animals are not treifs. We look around at babies, most of the time, a baby's born at 9 months. Every once in a while, we hear a baby born in the seventh month, but it catches our attention. Usually, you don't hear, did you hear the baby was born at 9 months? That's Takish Alaylam. Baby's born at 7 months. Ooh, everyone's talking about it. So that's clearly a miut. How do you know you follow Ruben de Laysa Kaman? Where does it say that in the Chumash? The Gemara is not so sure about that. So the Gemara has many, many, many approaches, many creative suggestions to teach us from Pesukim and Chumash this idea of Ruben de Laysa Kaman. The Pashup Pshat in the Sugya is that the Gemara knew this is true. The fact that Ruben de Laysa Kaman works, we know it's true. We have a Messiah, Rishri, a Meshur Beinu. For the last 3,000 years, we've been relying on Ruben de Laysa Kaman. Everybody knows we meet, we rely on Ruben de Laysa Kaman. We drink milk, we rely on Ruben de Laysa Kaman. We're always, our entire lives, all of Halacha is based on Ruben de Laysa Kamans. For Yavu Bichain, the Gemara is trying to show you that it's still found in Psukim. Even if you wouldn't have this Messiah, even if you wouldn't know for sure this is true, it's in the Tashem Machsav. You just have to be very, very creative to find it. That's the Pashas and the Sugyas and the Rambam is there in different contexts. So it comes in Ben Chul in the seventh Ramam Komos with the following very, very innovative pshat as to the source for Ruben Laysa Kamans. Rav Mari Amma, seventh Ramam Komos, Asya Mimakya Aviv Imo. The Torah says if a person hits the parent and causes the parent to bleed, causes the wound, the Yom Rachman Akatli, the person's Chayav Misa, how does the Beis Din know that that's his father? How do you know? The answer is the Rove. The rove at the time is the verse is rove b'ilus acharabal, husband and wife living together. So the overwhelming odds are that he's probably the father of the child. We can't say with absolute 1,000,000,000% certainty. I'm not going to enter into the realm of DNA testing today, but Mizmar Chazal was impossible to say with absolute 1,000,000% certainty. It was a very, very good rove, unbelievably good rove, but still a rove. Says Rav Mari, you see that halacha works based on Rav. Rav Mari says from the very parish of Machavi Makalavimo, the fact that how do you know who's the father of who? It's a Rav, Rav Biosachar Abal. So the Gemara goes on to question, is that a good source or not a good source? But we're getting out of the details of that for a moment. Comes the Ramban on the 8th of the Marmar Kuppas and says, wait a second, if that's the only way we know that the father is the father based on Rav, Rabban says, that's not a good rove. That's a rove. Catch this one. Hatoli b'maisa. That means you're saying based on Rove, most probably this is the father, which is the equivalent to say most probably this man and this woman had relations at one point. So most probably this is the father. Boop says the Ramban to Rove Tal Aviv Maisa. How does Rove Tal Aviv Maisa work? You're trying to derive in a Torah the dinner of Rove. This itself is not a good Rove. That's the Ramban's kasha in the sugya. So we're not going to have a chance today to get to the answer. The answer to the Ramban is even more fascinating, but let's just extract one nekuda before we end the shiur as to what do you see for the Ramban's question. The Ramban poses the question in a deraisa de sugya. This is a sugya min haTorah. This is not a game. It's not a din mid Rabbanan. We're trying to figure out what right do we have to kill the person and what can we extrapolate to the halacha based on that. This is a deraisa de kedin, a deraisa de discussion. And the Ramban felt perfectly comfortable asking the question, hey, wait a second, stop, hold the phone. Tell the marker down. It's a rova tolim b'maisa. What kind of cash is that? If rova tolim b'maisa is a chumah mid Rabbanan, that's not a very good question. So you see clear from the Ramban, or later Chareim point out, you see clear from the Ramban's question. We don't even know what the answer is yet. But you see clear from the Ramban's question. The Ramban was going with this understanding. A rove, a Torah b'maisa, is a really bad rove. It is so inefficient, even mid-daraisa, it's not going to work. We don't know yet why. But for the Kushas of Ramban, this doesn't bode well for a rove, a Torah b'maisa. This is supporting what Israel said. I didn't give up yet. I have to give up now because it's Friday at 6:53. But so keep this on the front burner, back burner, somewhere in the middle. We still try to figure out what is the source of the problem. Just how bad is the Rabban Tal Aviv Maisa? If we can knock it down to only the Rabban Tal Aviv problem, then the coast is clear from the Nikas Chametz. But if we're stuck with this Ramban now, that's a Derais Nikas problem, then we have a much more serious problem on our hands. Hopefully, that's next week. We'll try to pick up from the spot to this Kasha, and hopefully, the terrorists of the Ramban shed some light in this. Good job. Absolutely.
Rabbi, is there any place in the Gemara itself?
The Shabbos.
I think Bechoros. One line of Bechoros. That's it.
Rebbe, one question, Rebbe.
Yeah.
The notices said that Matzah Shabbos is 9:00. Was the
Lord? Yeah. I have to.